Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, looking at the situation we saw yesterday with Sydney Trains, far from ideal. I think a lot of regular commuters are understandable that these things sometimes happen, but this is far from the first time we've seen massive delays, mass cancellations on the Sydney train work, train network, I should say. Was this something that could have been predicted yesterday?
I think it probably could have been predicted over the weekend, given the amount of rain that we've had, that was going to impact on the rail network. And also being school holidays, poor weather, people who aren't feeling very well, they look outside, say, I can't be bothered going to work today, call in sick. So all of that could have been predicted over the weekend, but there's not really that much that could be done about it, short of cancelling services in advance, so people have a bit more notice. There's not a whole lot that could have been done on the weekend, given the short notice.
Well, that didn't seem to be the case, as you say. I mean, as I said, I was turning up at some of the stations, and it did seem like many services were being cancelled with mere minutes of warning.
Yeah, it does seem like that. So there may be some sort of an information gap taking place there, or it could just be that they're having to make these decisions to cancel services at the very last minute, based on, you know, that last train's running slow, so the next one can't leave on time, and that impacts on the next one, and it just keeps going and going and going. And it's a real problem now that the network's running at such high capacity, so we're using up all the available space, and anytime anything goes wrong, it just cascades through.
So who bears the blame for this one if this is a situation that could have been predicted?
Well, it's one of these things where you could predict it, but what do you really do about it? So over the long term, government's investing in more infrastructure in order to get the trains out of the weather. So the new metro line is going to be mostly underground, so it's not going to be affected by weather to the same extent. And more trains in tunnels mean less trains affected by wet weather. And when the train tracks are wet, the trains have to slow down. So infrastructure is going to play a big part in keeping the network going. Beyond that, it's a matter of getting information out to the public. And we need to also think about whether we need a few more drivers on standby so that when someone does call in sick, there's someone who can slot in to take their place. But that's expensive. Most of the time, those spare drivers will just be sitting around twiddling their thumbs. So that's an expense that the taxpayers will have to bear if that's the way we want to do it. The other problem is you might have the train sitting at Hornsby, but the spare driver sitting at Strathfield. So how do you bring those two together? And that's a major problem.
Speaking of infrastructure there's obviously been a great deal of controversy most recently about the closure of the Epping to Chatswood line. I know around the area I live in, indeed the area I'm broadcasting from right now, we've seen a lot of those station-to-station buses, hundreds of these station-to-station buses. You can't get away from them. They seem like they're absolutely everywhere. Looking forward at the infrastructure we're building and we're redoing here in Sydney, like the closure of that line and some of the others that are coming up right now, are we likely to see an increase in problems as the state government, as the Sydney train network, tries to improve itself?
Yeah, I think in the short term, so next, say, 2 years, there's going to be a bit of a risk that we'll see more of these incidents occurring. Once the new metro lines open, and so the Epping to Chatswood line reopens, it will be driverless, which means that drivers can't call in sick because there's no drivers on board. So that will be one less source of disruption. Most of that train line will also be isolated, so problems in Strathfield won't affect the metro line. And mostly underground, so wet weather's not going to be much of a problem. Once we start to untangle more of the infrastructure, things will start to get a bit better. Also, by investing in saving money on the train drivers on the metro, we can invest in more drivers for the rest of the train network.
And just moving forward, still with these infrastructure hassles we're likely to see and scenarios like we saw yesterday, these are a huge hassle for Sydney siders. We are very reliant on public transport here in this city, and this can really you know, upset the apple cart. This can really upset a lot of people's day. So moving forward, is there any advice you would give the state government or those behind Sydney Trains in order to make sure the scenarios like yesterday have the least amount of impact on, commuters?
Yeah, it's a toughie. It's a real tough one. On the one hand, well, last year they upped the number of services that they were running, which provided a better level of service when everything was going great. But then the first day that we had bad weather or drivers got sick, the whole network collapsed. And that was simply because they were running at peak and they were trying to do too much. So they scaled things back and there's not quite as many services running and there have been fewer problems since they cut back on a few of those services. But it means that when days are going well, like today, we've got a few less services, so there's a bit more crowding. It's a real tough thing to have to make that judgment call. I think they went too far one way before, they pulled back, and I think they're learning quite a few of those lessons.
Well, Geoffrey, thank you very much. I do appreciate your time looking at these ones with us this morning.
My pleasure.